Have you ever heard of a tamarisk tree? Tamarisk tree. T-A-M-A-R-I-S-K. Tamarisk tree. Oh, you've just got to have a tamarisk tree. If you don't have a tamarisk tree, you'll get yourself into all kinds of trouble. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of my story. I want to talk to you today about the journeys of Abraham. Would you open in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 12. If you need a Bible, Kevin has some to pass out. Genesis chapter 12. On this side, anyone? Al has some Bibles. As you know, God directed Abraham to leave his home and go to Canaan. And because he trusted God, Abraham obeyed. Genesis 12 and verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And once in Canaan, Abraham's first stop was Shechem. Verse 6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. First place in Canaan, Shechem, by the terebinth tree. First thing to do in Shechem, build an altar. Now, this altar was not primarily a place for sacrifice, but a place for prayer. But Abraham did not stay very long in Shechem. He soon moved to Bethel, or technically, to the mountain east of Bethel. And what did he do there? Verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Another altar, a place to call upon God, a place to commune with God, a place to worship God, a place to pledge his allegiance to God, a place to ask for God's help. But soon, Abraham packed his tents and was on the move again. And because of the famine in the land, he went all the way down to Egypt. You remember what happened in Egypt. Abraham tried to pass off his wife Sarah as being his sister. But Pharaoh discovered the truth and really indicted Abraham. Verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So, like a puppy with his tail tucked between his legs, Abraham slinked out of Egypt. But where would he go? Chapter 13, verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south, or to the Negev. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Back to Bethel again. Back to his altar again. Back to calling on the name of the Lord again. We don't read of any altar in Egypt. We don't read of Abraham calling on the name of the Lord in Egypt. And that's why he got into trouble in Egypt. That's why he became deceitful. That's why he failed to trust the Lord. And that's why he depended upon his own solution to the problem. Talk about leaning on your own understanding. That's what he did. But now Abraham sees his failure. He sees his need. He goes back to his altar. He goes back to calling on God again. Abraham, why did you ever drift from your altar? Why didn't you build another altar in Egypt? Why didn't you call on the Lord in Egypt? I think we all know why. I think we all know what it means not to call on the Lord at certain times. I think we all know what it means to lean upon our own understanding and solve our own problems our own way sometimes and find ourselves in hot water. But praise God for his patience. Amen? God is so patient. And praise God, Abraham got back on track. But then in time, we see him on the move again. Chapter 13 and verse 18. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And, there it is again, built an altar unto the Lord. Mamre of Hebron. Nice place, I guess. Nice trees. Abraham liked trees. And, of course, new place, so I need a new altar. Got to have it. Got to have a place to call on God. Can't get along without it. Abraham lived in Mamre of Hebron quite a while. Probably about 20 years. Ishmael was born there. 13 years later was circumcised there along with Abraham. Let's see, we're in 13. Let's move to 14, 15, 16, 17, all the way to chapter 18. So we've gone through some time. We're talking about the period of time that he was in Mamre of Hebron. verse 1 of chapter 18, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day." So up in chapter 18, he's still in Hebron. He still likes his trees. But then he moved on again. This time to Gerar, chapter 20, verse 1. "And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar." Uh-oh, verse 2 doesn't sound so good. "Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." Abraham, how could you do that? How could you fail to trust God again? How could you lie about Sarah again? Well, notice no mention of any altar in Gerar or Gerar. No mention of calling upon God there. You know, Abraham would teach us it is possible to regularly call upon God for a long time and then slack off. And when we slack off, we suffer spiritually. We repeat past failures. We become easy prey for Satan. Abraham did that. We can too. 20 years in Hebron, calling upon God at his place of worship. And then sets off to Egypt. Doesn't have that place. Doesn't have that communion. Lies again. Well, thank God he protected Sarah. Thank God he clued in Abimelech, who faced them both with their deception, and he put an end to that deception. And then Abimelech very graciously says to Abraham in chapter 20, verse 15, and Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." So starting out in Shechem, went to Bethel, went to Egypt, back to Bethel, to Hebron, to Gerar, and now he sets off again. But this time not too far. So after a fairly short time, Abimelech approaches Abraham and they make a covenant of peace. We pick up the story in Genesis 21, verse 31. "Therefore, he called that place Beersheba," which means the well of the oath, "because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days." Many days. I guess so. For Abraham this time stayed in Beersheba the rest of his life. which was 75 years. But notice the important thing he did in Beersheba. He got back to calling on the name of the Lord again. Didn't do much of that in Gerar, not while he was living in deception. But now he recognized his need again and recognized his need of having a place to call upon God. But this time, Abraham didn't build an altar. This time he planted a tamarisk tree. Now, if you have the King James Version, it says he planted a grove. But if you have an NIV or a New American Standard Bible or a New King James, what does it say? Tamarisk tree. Now you've heard of a tamarisk tree. And there, at the tamarisk tree, he called on the name of the Lord. For about 25 years of his life in Canaan, Abraham built altars as places to call on the name of the Lord. But for about 75 years, his place of communing with God was at the tamarisk tree. Whenever Abraham failed to have such a place, he got into spiritual trouble. He failed to trust God. He deceitfully lied. He came up with his own solutions, I should say, wrong solutions. But he finally realized what he really knew all along. I've got to have a place to call on God. I've got to have a place to keep my heart in tune with God. I've got to have a tamarisk tree. May I ask you, do you have a tamarisk tree? Do you have a special place where you get alone with God each day? Oh, every child of God needs a tamarisk tree. It may be your bedroom. It may be some other room in the house. It may be your neighborhood where you walk. It may be in your car as you commute to work. Whatever place works for you, you've got to have a tamarisk tree. Worshiping God together in church is a wonderful thing. Amen? Amen. We need to do that. God commands it. Worshiping God as a family, it's a precious thing. But nothing takes the place of getting alone with God one-on-one every day. Nothing can take the place of your own personal tamarisk tree. When the trials of life sweep over our souls, here is the place of refuge at the tamarisk tree. When the temptations of sin would drag us to defeat, here is the place of victory at the tamarisk tree. When the skies are so blue and the sun shines so brightly and all is so great, here is the place of praise at the tamarisk tree. When we need direction and wisdom, here is where we get it, at the tamarisk tree. When we need comfort from the God of all comfort, here is where we get it, at the tamarisk tree. When we need to be challenged because of our spiritual lethargy, here is the place that prods us Here is where God prods us, at the tamarisk tree. When self threatens to take over our lives and to rule us, this is where that monster is suppressed, at the tamarisk tree. When discouragement would flood our souls, here's the place of encouragement, at the tamarisk tree. When our lives get out of line and we live for ourselves instead of for the Lord, here is the place of realignment, at the tamarisk tree. God's word tells us that He is seeking true worshipers. This is where He finds them, at the tamarisk tree. Can we worship God other places? Sure we can. We worship Him here in church. But true worshipers will worship God the most at the tamarisk tree. Brethren, Satan will battle our spiritual growth every inch of the way. But this is where he will concentrate his attack. He will try to keep us from having a tamarisk tree. For you see, if he can do that, we won't really be effective for the Lord anywhere. Oh, we may be busy in church. We may fool other people. We may even kid ourselves. But if we do not have a tamarisk tree, nothing else will really matter very much. Why are so many Bible-believing churches so full of strife and disunity? I would suggest one reason, because so many Christians do not really have a tamarisk tree. There are certain things in life that are important to us. How about 3 meals a day? A roof over our head. Wheels. Family. A job. A culturally acceptable appearance. But more important than any of these is having a tamarisk tree. Do you have one? If not, learn from Abraham. Get one. Plant one. Be there. Have you had a tamarisk tree in the past, but gotten away from it? Replant it. Do you have a tamarisk tree now? Stick with it. Don't let Satan rob you of it. For you will never amount to much of anything for the Lord without a tamarisk tree. Lord bless you.